Doing okay? Glad you're here. What an atmosphere as we've worshipped together this morning. And, you know, when we come in that attitude of right worship, of honoring the Lord, there's no telling what God will do among us. And God's already doing things, I believe, even as we've worshipped this morning. And God's not finished yet. I'm excited because of what God's doing. Great stories this morning that we've heard. And I know there's more in the room. And I would echo what Pete said, encourage you to share the stories, build up each other in this wonderful faith that we share together. And here on this Mothering Sunday, well, you know, when you think about mums, you know, there's all sorts of things that come into your mind, aren't there? Be careful what you're thinking. But actually, if it wasn't for a mum, I wouldn't have life. But I got life. Not sure about the person next to you, but I've got life. And I want to talk about life this morning. And we've been in John's Gospel for a few weeks. And it's one of the recurring themes, is this theme of life. And right towards the end, in the penultimate chapter of John, John says these words. He says in chapter 20, verse 30, he said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. So Jesus did loads of stuff. But John says, the things that I've written for a reason. He said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How many of you are glad you got some life? And it's not just the natural stuff, but it's supernatural new life in Christ. And it is only found in Jesus. It's the only way. We've been singing about it. To be honest, the more songs we sang this morning, the more declarations we used today, the more I thought they've pinched my message all the way through with the songs that they've chosen today, which is really actually a real encouragement to me. But life, this life that we reflect on, that we sing about, that we declare, that it's totally in Jesus. And Phil said it a couple of times. Jesus, this is what it's all about, who it's all about. There's a story that, anybody been on the Alpha Course? A lot of people been on the Alpha Course. And one of the stories that comes out there is, you know, why did Jesus die? And that whole thought of Jesus being the answer to man's ultimate need. And there's a story in there that often is reflected and it relates to a broadcaster who died 14 years ago, and his name was Bernard Levin. But he made this observation, and he said, countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire. When you look around the world, actually the UK is pretty well off. They have all the material comforts they desire, yet lead lives of quiet desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them, that however much food and drink they pour into it, how many motor cars and television sets they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children, steady, and loyal friends they parade around the edges of their life, there's still an ache. There's still an ache, because ultimately, there's something inside of us that can only be satisfied with Jesus. John writes this right at the very beginning of the gospel in chapter 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Talking about Jesus, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. In him was life. Get that? In Jesus, there's life. And that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life in Christ. If you want real life, let Christ come into your life. Period. As the Americans would say. And this life is amazing, isn't it? It's eternal in nature, so there's something, you know, this goes beyond the natural boundaries of our 70 whatever years, if we've got that. but it's a supernatural eternal life. John chapter 3, and I'll read a few of the sayings of Jesus over the next few minutes where he's reflecting on this life. John 3, 14, and then through to 16, well-known verse, obviously, to many of us. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, talking about himself, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. If you're here today and you've not got an understanding of that, a revelation of that, an experience and a pursuit of that, then that can change this morning. You can come to Christ and find new life and eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We've been singing some amazing songs this morning. One of them said, your love never fails. It never gives up on me. Wherever you're at, whatever has been going on in your life, the love of God is so big, so powerful. He's going to keep pursuing you, I believe. He's going to keep coming after you. It's never going to fade. Hello? Is there anybody here today who's never come to that place of acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God and never believed in him? Or perhaps I should say, is there anybody here today who, for the very first time, is going to say, actually, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. I do believe he died on the cross for me. I do believe he's died that I might have new life in him. I tell you what, if that's you this morning, we're going to make room for you. We're going to pray together in a few minutes, and you've got to get that opportunity of stepping into this new life. So hold on. We'll be there in a moment. But this life, it's a quality life. If you get into this, if you become a Christian and you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, it becomes a quality life. This is not a makeover. How many of you like those makeover TV programs? You know, there's some amazing ones out there that do an amazing job. They go in and zap a place over a few hours and it transforms it. But actually, the fabric of the building is quite often the same. We're not talking about a makeover. We're talking about something transformational in our lives, because it's something that happens on the inside of us. It's not just putting a bit of makeup on the outside. Jesus said this in chapter 4 of John, verse 13. He said, everyone who drinks this water, and he was talking about a well of water, actual natural water. He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them, everybody say in them, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So Jesus said, I'm going to put something in you that's going to bring life. How many think that's a great thought? Just contemplate that for a moment. God wants to put something, or rather, someone. He wants to put someone in you, the Holy Spirit in you, to bring that new life to birth in you. That is transformative. That is not just a makeover. That's something far more powerful and supernatural. And it's eternal in nature, as we've said. So, you know, it goes beyond our time here on planet Earth. But I want to say this. You know, when we talk about eternal life, sometimes we think about, you know, okay, after we die, we're going to heaven. Everybody okay with that? Yeah. All right, good. And my eternal life starts. No. Your eternal life starts right here, right now. Right here, right now. It's transformative to that degree. When you make that decision to follow Jesus, invite him into your life, to bring that new life to birth in you, it starts right here. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He says, the thief, and he's referring to the devil, he says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. One of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. Not sure about you, but full life. If you look in the older translations, the Authorized Version particularly, it talks about, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. You know, there's something about the word abundantly that's quite attractive. It's beyond the just getting by. It's beyond that, just scraping through. I remember a few years ago, we were at an area church leaders prayer meeting, and we've been praying as church leaders across this area for over 20 years together, a group of us, and it's been great. We were at one of these particular meetings, and Alan Taylor, who was the minister at the neighborhood church back then, he prayed a prayer. Some interesting words. And he said, "Father, I pray that we as Christians might be attractive like cakes in a cake shop window." And I had a bit of a double take. And then I reflected on the times that myself and Anne-Marie, and particularly when you're on a holiday, you're sort of sauntering down the streets of an unknown town, and you go past a cake shop, yeah? And you look in the cake shop and you go, "Oh, we must be good. However, we are on holiday." But there's something really attractive about those cakes. I think there should be something really attractive about us, God's people, to this world in which we live. That people go, ooh, what have you got? What is it about you? I'm drawn to that. I want to find out a little bit more about that. Here's a question. We've got a plum tree in our garden, and around August time, usually when we're at the one event, it starts to produce plums. And some years there's just been a handful of plums on this tree. And I remember one year, not that long ago, when we had that many plums on it, and it actually broke one of the branches because it was laden. Let me ask you a question. Which is more attractive, the tree with one or two plums or the tree that is laden? This is not a trick question. Which is more attractive? And when I read about the life that God wants us to have, and I reflect again on some of the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, where he talks about, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me," he said, "you know, you'll produce fruit. And in fact, you'll go on to produce much fruit." There might be a bit of pruning involved at times with regard to that. But there's an interesting progression in that passage if you read it. We haven't got time to sort of unpack it much this morning. But it talks about a position of being in no fruit, a position of being fruit, having some fruit, and then much fruit. If I ask you this morning where your life is at, would you say right now, have you got this fruit that we're talking about, this life in Christ, number one? Number two, would you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've asked Jesus into my life. I'm endeavoring to follow him. But actually, yeah, I've got there's some fruit of that, some evidence of that. But I'm not sure it's what potentially it could be. Huh? And we're all on a journey with this. Yeah, we're all on a journey. I said, where would you say you are this morning? I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be in the much fruit category. Fruitful for God. Fruitful life. A sense of, yeah, doing what I'm called to do in the place I'm called to do it with, the people I'm called to do it with, a sense of the favor of God and the blessing of God. You know, and being able to declare I'm wonderfully well and blessed and highly favored of the Lord, even though I've got a croaky voice this morning. Isaiah put it this way. He said, God wants you to be the display of his splendor. God wants you to be the display of his splendor. How many of you think that sounds attractive? There's something about the church and God's people that God wants to do. Amazing. Maybe God wants to bring you, maybe somebody here today, from a place of no fruit, that lack of understanding and revelation of this life that we're talking about this morning, to a place of fruit and much fruit. Or maybe you're in that place of fruit, but Lord, I do believe that there's more to come. We're going to pray for that in a few moments. This life that we're talking about, here's the thing, because wherever you are on that sort of fruit, or no fruit, fruit, much fruit, wherever you are, as you thought about your own life there for a moment, wherever you are, I want to say this. This life that we're talking about comes with no condemnation. No condemnation. Again, Jesus speaking, John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my voice and believes him who sent me has eternal life." just underlining it again, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. That moment when you make that decision and you declare that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Son of God and that he died to cover your sins, to take the weight of your sins, to give you forgiveness, that moment that you accept him, it changes. Transformation takes place at that moment. Your destiny completely transforms. Pete earlier was saying as we were coming to communion, he talked about the old covenant and the new covenant. You know, prior to Jesus coming, that God's people were living under this old covenant, which was great in its day, and a great provision of God for that. But it came with a lot of law and religious practices. When Jesus came, this was a new day. This is my blood which is broken for you. This is a new covenant in my blood. And it marked a new day of grace and truth. Grace and truth. From law and its religious practices to grace and truth. I was listening to, watching actually a little video that I got sent an email. It was actually, the email was from, you may never have heard it, but an organization called Hillsong, church called Hillsong. Anybody heard of it? Okay, yeah. And they were talking about an up-and-coming conference that's taking place. And one of the speakers is a guy called John Gray, and was a click on the email and you can go and listen to one of his talks, which I did the other day. And he said this, which really struck me. He said, religion will put shame on you, but grace will lift shame off you. Religion will put shame on you, but grace will lift shame off you. How many of you are really glad about that? You know, we're not here under condemnation today, but we can come under the grace of God, his love for us that we've been singing about and declaring about all morning. How many of you know what Paul said is absolutely true in Romans 8:1, where he said, there is now, we say now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus, no condemnation, period. And this life is a life with protection. Jesus, again, in John chapter 10, makes this statement. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. Are you out there? You're listening? Yeah? You're listening for the voice of God in your life? He said, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Underlines it again. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. On Thursday this week, myself and Anne-Marie were out with my dad and our grandson, Dylan. And Dylan, he's a lively little lad, many of you will know. You have to keep your eye on him all the time. And he's now into the stage of walking. And he loves to explore and get into anything and everything if you let him. And we were at the garden center that's opposite Morrison's, whatever you call it. And we were going to go for lunch, taking my dad. And Dylan, of course, he's in my arms, but he wanted to get down. He'd just come out of the car. He wanted to get down, and he wanted to be running off. You know, he didn't care what he was going to bump into, crash into, turmoil he was going to cause, etc. And I said, Dylan, you can get down and walk if you hold Grandpa's hand and you hold Great-Granddad's hand. And he did. And we walked through that garden center, that restaurant area. And when I thought about this scripture, the Father, they shall never perish. Not one of them will be snatched out of my hand, Jesus said. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I just thought on that Thursday was that little picture of that scripture. One either side holding his little hands. How many of you are glad you've got God, the Father, and the Son holding your hands in life? And if you haven't, you can this morning. Some of you will know Paul Benger, who is involved in the Ground Level Network, a great friend of ours. He leads a church called Icon Church now in Chesterfield, and they have a number of congregations based with it. And he'd been out in Africa in September last year, and he came home and he was really poorly. Ended up in hospital. If you were with us, you may remember we were praying for him at the time. And the doctors were unsure whether A, he'd had a heart attack, or B, whether he had some sort of viral thing that had attacked his heart. And so severe was it that on one particular day, the medics, the doctors, came and spoke to his wife, Jeannie, and said, Mrs. Benji, we really do need to suggest to you that you expect the worst. We don't think Paul is going to pull through. And they said that to her three times on one day. Can you imagine? Three separate times on one day. And Paul, he had seven lines going in him, pumping him with a full of drugs. And the doctors were doing all that they could to try and stem whatever this thing was and reverse whatever this thing had been. And he said, I don't remember lots. But he said, I knew things were critical. And he said, I do remember turning to Jeannie and saying, get people to pray. And people had been praying already. And Jeannie made some phone calls and got a few more people because of the critical nature of the moment. And he said, with all that was going on, and he said, I wasn't fully conscious, probably as much as anything. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I knew one thing. There were two points in that period where I just felt and sensed the hand of God pushing me back. Pushing me back. And he said it was like a turning moment. A turning moment. Isn't it great to be in God's hand? Then he said a really funny thing. Paul said the bizarre thing. And he said, I don't know whether it was the drugs. But he said, I'm laid in my bed. And Batman pulled alongside in his Batmobile. And he said, Batman turned up, looked to me, and he went like this. He said, don't worry, we've got this, and drove off. He said, no, I don't know whether that was God, but I'm taking it could be. Hey, I want to tell you, somebody needs to know, with God, we've got this. We've got this, Sharon and Ian. We've got this. Last point. Life bringing hope of resurrection. Bringing hope of resurrection. We are all going to die. Cheery thought. Unless, of course, we're in that very last days where the return of Jesus is imminent and it happens within our lifetime. We are going to die if that doesn't happen. We sang a song this morning that said, in death, in life, I'm confident in your love for me. Who knows what tomorrow literally will hold? Oops. Who knows? But in death and in life, I'm confident of your love for me. Jesus said this in chapter 11, verse 25. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Hey, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to learn how to fly. Hi. What about you? Come on. If you haven't got this life we've been considering this morning, then that can change right here, right now. Come into relationship with Jesus. While the musicians come back, we're going to pray. Firstly, I want to pray for if there is anybody here who has never made that step of asking Jesus into their life, asking him to forgive them of sin and all that that entails, and to invite him in to be Lord of your life, that you can now birth into this life that we've been reflecting on for these last few moments. So I'm going to encourage you to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if that's you, say, yeah, David, I want this life you've been talking about today. We're going to pray right here, right now. And you just in your own heart and in your own thoughts, just pray after me. Father God, thank you that you loved us so much. Thank you that you love me so much, that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for me. Thank you, Lord, that you will forgive me of all my sin as I come to you right now. And I ask you to do that in this moment. Lord, and I ask you to come by your Holy Spirit into my life from this day onwards, to bring that new birth, that new life into being in me. I give myself to you from this moment. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer along with me, I'd love to chat with you afterwards. I'll be down here at the front. Please do come and chat. But I also want to, for a moment, just get you reflect again on that what we'll be talking about, that progression from John 15. We talked about no fruit, but going to a place of fruit. Yes, I'm born again. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a little bit of fruit, a little bit of evidence of that, and that's great, but I believe there's more. I believe there's more. And if that's you, why don't you stand with me and just lift your hands to heaven? I'm going to give you some homework. Don't very often do this, but I want you to go home and I want you to read a psalm, or the first 9 verses of Psalm 37. And there are a number of things there with promises attached. And there are things there that talk about don't fret, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, be still before God, don't fret again, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. And maybe some of that is a little bit to do with God's pruning in our lives to enable more fruit to be released among us. And I'd just love to encourage you to go home and at some point in the next few days, read chapter 37 of the Psalms, verse 1 to 9, and just prayerfully ask God to speak to you and through you in those verses. But I want to pray for you today. Father, I'm so amazed of your love for us as we've been singing today. I'm so amazed that you love me so much that you did send your son, Jesus. I'm so amazed that you brought me into this family with all its benefits and blessings and provision and protection and the grace that is the only way that I can step into it is because of your grace. And Lord, I thank you that this abundant life, this life in all its fullness, is for each one of us in this room. Lord, I pray in our journeys, in our journey of faith and our walk with you, that God, you will keep shaping us and molding us. And Lord, would you breathe afresh the breath of your Spirit upon us today? Life in all its fullness. And I just want to speak that over the congregation of your people, Father. From my left all the way across to my right, from the front to the back, may the breath of your Spirit be released among us today. That God, we would truly know the fruit of the life of Christ in us and being displayed from us. May we truly be, Lord, the display of your splendor to the world in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen.